This is a first for the Audible. First time all year, back-to-back days. We're on yesterday. We're on today, I think, folks, right? Let me ask the vast crew back there, the hordes of people back there that run this show. Is this the first time we've gone back-to-back days?
Yes.
I'm gonna go with Logan because Logan always just gives a specific answer.
I know you're tired, Kim. Can you handle the back-to-back?
So I'm gonna assume that means yes. So I'm gonna go with that one. I can handle it back to back. I got Andy Cohen with me, AC in the AM, 6 a.m. every morning, Monday through Friday. You can find out what's going on with the Dolphins, and he's the guy to tell you. Andy, great to have you back here.
Nice to be back.
This will be the last time you'll be with us this season,
except if we do it tomorrow again.
Well, that's right.
That'll be three in a row.
Yeah, well, I got Joe coming Friday, so okay. You're getting bumped out by Joe, which okay. I can't believe, but okay. That's going to happen. So next
that.
Time we get you, it'll be 2018.
Wonderful.
Probably before we get you on the program again.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, and if I'm sure on you, I'm sure for your preference, it would be late in 2018 or somewhere there. But anyway, so let's kind of go through. Let me go through a little news here first before we go on. Team news, they announced their awards today, their team awards. The Dan Marino Most Valuable Player and Ndamukong Suh. You good with that?
No issues with that whatsoever.
You know, the guy, it's funny because Ndamukong Suh, it's always a conversation when you talk with to someone about Ndamukong Suh. Because everyone goes, wow, that's so much money. You pay the guy so much money. I agree with this. He's the best player on this football team.
No doubt about it.
He is the best player on this football team by head and shoulders. But as a defensive tackle that has one of the largest contracts in the NFL, defensive tackle, people say, well, they don't make that many impact plays. No, they don't. But I think he impacts the game as much as any defensive tackle in the National Football League. And I would say this. I would say he impacts the game more than any defensive lineman on the Miami Dolphins football team right now.
Clearly. And you know, I was talking to him last week, and he kind of mentioned in the press conference that sometimes he's triple-teamed.
Yep.
I said, how does that work? And he said, well, two linemen and a running back.
Yep.
Sometimes two linemen and the tight end.
Yeah.
I says, boy, that's incredible, the pounding that he takes, that his body takes. And the fact that he's played in 80, I think he started 98 straight games.
Yeah.
Is incredible.
Well, and let me tell you what, he was hurt early this year. He hurt, you know, I don't know, his knee or whatever, but he hurt his knee. I don't know if you remember, he went to the locker room, walked right past the doctors, went in the locker room. Doctors trailed him in the locker room. He turned around, coming back the other way and passed him, didn't talk to him, went back out on the field and played the rest of the game. And I don't think he's practiced a whole lot since, but continues to go out there and just be a stalwart out there.
He's an incredible athlete.
Yeah, he is. So anyway, so he's the most valuable player. Ndamukong Suh, well deserved. Don Shula Leadership Award, Cam Wake. I'm not going to argue with that one.
No. In fact, today, Adam Gase said when Cam Wake talks, people listen, and he is a leader, probably more so by example than his words. I mean, his example, the example he sets is off the charts.
Yep.
And when he does talk to the team, there isn't a whisper in the room.
Yep.
There's so much respect for Cam Wake. I have no issues at all with,
you know, for a guy that didn't get drafted, that bounced around, that had to go to Canada, and then came back and turned out to be the type of player that he was. You get to see how he was able to do it when you talk to him, because he's very much like Pouncey from the standpoint of game day focus.
Uh-huh.
Their game day focus is so intense that. That it's really tough to duplicate.
Yeah, his diet is incredible. I asked him Thanksgiving, you going to have some pumpkin pie?
No.
I haven't had pumpkin pie since I was 10 years old.
I tried to slide him a Snicker bar one time, and he almost punched me in the face.
I mean,
I was able to bob and weave, Andy. Bob and then weave.
You know, if the young players can just take his example,
yeah.
just the way he works, just the way he prepares,
goes about his business.
That would just make them immeasurably better as players.
No doubt.
And so you can lead by voice, you can lead by actions. He leads every way possible.
Ed Block Courage Award goes to Mike Pouncey, bouncing back from the hip surgery and all of the procedures, whatever he had last year, and kind of trying to, you know, they said at the season they're going to try to nurse him through 16 games, and they've done it.
Unfortunately, they wanted 16 games plus, and there won't be a plus this year.
No plus. Natmore Community Service Award, Kenny Stills. Kenny, one of the guys that goes out almost every Tuesday or when he's got time off. does ride-alongs with the police, talks to kids in the neighborhoods about their relationship with the police and first responders, and all those types of things. And I don't have an argument with
that. Yeah, he's the Walter Payton nominee for the team.
Yep.
You know, I asked someone that the team who shows up every Tuesday. Kenny still shows up every. He never misses a Tuesday.
No doubt. And I've talked to some police that have been with him and say he's just what he does. It's invaluable what he does and the message he brings to the people that run, especially the kids that they run across out there. Other news, Leonte Crew, Vincent Taylor, both placed on IR, activated the defensive tackle Gabe Wright and wide receiver Rashawn Scott. And Andy, this is what I would ask you this game. Last game going in, I think Adam Gase already said Jay Cutler is going to be the starting quarterback. The question is, do we see any fringe players out there that they want to get one look at that maybe they haven't seen all year long, or very much. I'm gonna say like guys like Calvin Mal or like Malvo, Cameron Malvo.
Right.
I think it's Cameron, right?
Yeah.
The Cameron Malvo who played last week, and every time he's played, he's done pretty well. Some of the other guys, Smith, the offensive lineman, the tackle Smith,
Eric Smith.
I know they're working with him. Whether he'll be activated or not, that would tell whether they want to see a little bit of him. Some of those guys.
I mean, the thing with a 53-man roster and the injuries is
there aren't much left.
Is you're going to see all these guys play. And we've seen all. Yeah, he needs to continue to get the young players. But that also means guys like Xavier Howard, who plays every down and needs to continue to play every down. And, you know, if Tankersley comes back this week or if McCain more work on the outside of the nickel, you know, there's a pretty good young nucleus of this team despite the record. And really, more so than the unknowns, it's the young nucleus of this team that needs to continue to get as much playing time and experience as possible.
Well, you go across the board and you look at the Jesse Davises, you look at Xavier, and you talk about Tankersley. Kenyon Drake, Charles Harris. All these young guys back there. You'd like to see Damian Williams back in there get a little more time. But you talk about Kenyon Drake, Isaac Asiata, who they're hoping maybe next year steps up a little bit. But you kind of go through. I know I'm leaving guys out. Gottschall, Taylor, Jakeem Grant, all these guys. But the point being is really when you look at this football team and you look at the last two drafts, they've gotten a lot of players that have spent a lot of time on the field from these last two drafts, so they can put another one together and get another draft where you get maybe two or three of those guys who can impact you in 2018 with maybe another couple guys that can impact you in 19. You got three. If you can get three solid draft classes together, I think that's the formula for this team to really, really turn that corner more so than they expected this year.
Yeah, I think the key that the fans need to realize is that the young nucleus of this team is clearly the positive moving forward. It's what we need to draw on with a disappointing record this season. You know, if they didn't have a good nucleus, if the last two or three drafts were bad, if we didn't see an upside, you know, then there would be cause where you need a total rebuild, you've got to start over. But it's not the case.
Yeah.
You know, there is a decent nucleus. They just need more. They need more quality young players. They need more good decisions this offseason.
Yeah, and they need some guys to step up, you know, that need to play at the level you would like. You know, and the first guy that comes to my mind is obviously Devontae Parker. I mean, he's given us – you've seen so many snapshots of him being that guy that can be a number one guy for you, and then he disappears for a couple weeks, and then he comes back. So I think if you could get him to that next level of consistency, you know, the other guy that we saw, Jordan Phillips this year, who's really over the last – month and a half, really, he's been playing like out of this world, and so he can just continue his growth.
These are all the guys I'm talking
about.
Sure, you can go down the roster. You could probably come up with 15 to 20 names of guys that are worth growing with and have shown enough signs and evidence this year that they can be long-term solutions.
And young guys.
Yep. We're talking 22s, 23s, 24s, 25, and that's got to be the key to this team moving forward.
Periscope Black Man Game, how do you feel about the talent on the roster going into the offseason? We just touched on that a little bit. You know, I'm not – to me, the roster is not the issue with this football team. Certainly there's questions at the quarterback. Jay Cutler, I think like everybody else, I kind of expect that Jay's not going to be back unless something, you know, something surprising changes, and he's willing to take certainly lost a lot more less money than he got this year. But as you look at the rest of the roster, you know, I think tight end is a position that's going to be pretty wide open next year going through that. But other than that, I think it's pretty you know, there's a pretty good group of players in most spots on this roster.
How do you factor in, Kim, guys that are currently on injured reserve, guys like Raekwon McMillan,
yep.
guys like Tony Lippett?
Yep.
How do you factor them in? Do you automatically assume that they're going to be the way they were before the injury?
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to automatically assume that Raekwon McMillan is going to be what he was before, because for in essence he will not have played football for almost 2 years
yeah.
by the time the season starts next year, because he got hurt the first preseason
game. But he
game.
Was a starter by then.
Yes, he was a starter by then. So I expect him to come in, step into that middle, and be that starter. Now the question in a linebacker would be, do you move Kiko back to the middle and put Raekwon at one of the outside linebacker spots? I think there's a question as to whether there's a question with Lawrence Timmons, whether he's going to come back or not. I think that plays into it. All those things play into it. So I think expect him. Tony Lippett is another.
I mean, where
Tony
would
Lippett's
he have been
another.
This year if he wasn't hurt.
Well, I think going into this, I think Tony Lippett to me was probably the odds-on guy to start opposite Xavien.
I agree.
As the season began.
I agree.
Then he got hurt. Now, I just don't know. You know, he's been around for a little bit. A year off for him, a little more. He's the same as.
And he had an Achilles injury.
Had
which
is a little different, especially for a corner where you got to plant and push off of it. But I probably feel maybe a little less secure with him than I do with Raekwon, right, coming back off of injured reserve.
But to be honest with you, I think their secondary is really one of the areas on the team that's okay
strength,
moving forward.
Yes.
You know, they've got their two safeties signed long term.
Yep. You got the growth of Xavien this year.
You got Bobby McCain being as good as any slot corner, you know, I've seen. I think the secondary is okay.
Yep.
You know, you're looking for pieces. You're looking for morsels to move forward, having a confident thing. I mean, how many years could we say the secondary is okay moving forward?
Not very long. Look, last year going into the offseason, it was like, geez, what are they going to do with the secondary? They got nobody back there left.
But now and
all
you
of
really
a sudden,
don't have to draft a secondary.
No,
you're
I think you can avoid the secondary in the draft unless somebody pops up that you know that you didn't expect to be there. I'm fine with the defensive front. I'm fine with the secondary. They've got to find some way to improve that linebacker group.
I agree.
More so from a coverage standpoint.
I agree.
And although coverage. You know, coverage improvement to me, I'll give you a good example to me, is I'd like to see this team be more of a man-to-man team, more of a press coverage team, more of that kind of thing, because when this team has gotten in, when this team has really gotten beaten badly, it's through zone, where guys are running across zones, running through zones, catching balls, picking up extra yardage. It seems like when they've been man-to-man, guys catch balls, but they're tackled immediately. And so they need to find some balance.
You would think with
some
the safeties they
there.
Have, they'd be a good
yes,
man-to-man team.
Yes. Well, yeah, and I think that's why we saw more man-to-man in the second half of the season when TJ came in a little bit more.
Another young guy we failed to mention was Jesse Davis.
Yes.
And you need players like Jesse Davis. You need guys to come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You need the Patriots were built on guys that came out of nowhere, especially on their offensive line.
Yeah.
So if Jesse Davis, indeed, you can pencil him as a starter on the right side, whether it be tackle or guard, that's another important thing that we didn't know about when this season began.
Well, and I agree with that. I think to me, Jesse Davis, one of those positions, he's going to be your starter no matter what next year.
Yeah, and that's a nice comfort zone.
Yeah, it is. Let me see.
Let's
look
see
at it. Now they're getting on my clothes and stuff. KWS 101. I knew they were going to mention it. That's why I wore this shirt.
It's clothes.
This I wore this shirt just for
can't
that.
Rip
so
a
you
man
guys,
his clothes.
You guys bitch and you make fun of my clothes. You tell me my shirts look like a picnic tablecloth. I've heard everything about my clothes. This is to you guys. This is me giving you guys shit for talking crap about the clothes that I wear.
He dresses
That's
in
it.
The dark, okay, guys?
Huh?
He dresses in the
no,
dark.
No, I didn't. I
Give him some break.
Hey, let me tell you what. I washed this to wear specifically today for you guys out there.
That's good.
This is me.
And they're all applauding
you.
Right now, you guys.
I actually did go to this concert, too. I saw this guy, Angus.
Angus?
Yeah. I don't know his last name.
He was
good. No, he was good. He was good.
Angus Beef?
Plays a guitar.
No.
Angus what? Angus Young.
Angus Young.
Angus ain't so young anymore, but he's still Angus Young, I can tell you that. Periscope, Duke Dennis, do you expect any changes in the coaching staff? I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know either. That's in Adam Gase's mind.
Yeah.
It's hard to read Adam Gase's mind.
Yep.
You know, change is usually constant in the NFL, and it's rare for a coaching staff to stay together.
Yep.
You know, I don't know what his mindset is on the offensive line coach with everything that happened this year. You know,
I think the offensive line, I would maybe look for a change there only for somebody with a little bit more experience. You know, I think the you know, when you lost your offensive line coach and the young kid comes in after him, I don't know that he's I could be 100% wrong, but I think you would probably want a guy with a little bit more seasoning there at this point with that offensive line.
Yeah, and the thing with coaches, you usually know sooner than later in the offseason because
they want to give him a chance to get out there.
They want to give him a chance, and they want to bring in the new coach and do all the scouting and things. So, yeah, there's a chance.
Yep. Freddie Tank Flores from Facebook, is Tannehill ready for next year, or should we start looking for a quarterback? Well, I would say
yes and yes.
I think that is going to be – That's going to be the conversation. It's already been the conversation for the last 2 weeks.
Right.
I think it's going to continue to be the conversation until the draft comes around. Is Tannehill, is he going to be ready to go? And number two to that is whether he's ready to go or not, do you draft a quarterback?
Yeah,
the third question behind that is, if you're going to draft a quarterback, how high do you draft that quarterback?
Well, it just depends on the conviction of the quarterback. But if I was a general manager, I would draft a quarterback every year.
Yeah.
I would constantly bring in new blood in the most important position on the team. So my answer to your question is yes and yes. I believe Tannehill will be back. I believe he will be healthy, and I believe he will start. But I also believe they will bring in a young, talented quarterback to either groom as his replacement or have him ready in case the knee gives way, in case there's other injury concerns. You can never have too much depth at quarterback. The Dolphins found that out this year.
All right, so, Andy, give me your top three – your top three in your order of needs in the draft that you'd like to see picked up.
I'm going to stay with quarterback as number one.
Right.
I'm going to go quarterback, I'm going to go linebacker, and I'm going to go tight end.
Okay.
In that order.
I'm with you on that, although there's a big part of me that wants to throw a guard in there.
I want to see
early on.
There are so many playmaking tight ends in this league.
Well,
young,
yes,
physical, run down the field, 23-year-old guys.
Last 5 years, Stanford's put out a tight end every year that becomes a great tight end.
Of those guys,
I don't think they've got any.
Orange.
But this is year, I don't think they have any.
No, but there are some really good tight ends.
No,
in this
there should be. I don't know. Look, there's
young,
a lot of great tight ends in the league.
Tight end is an important position.
Look, we just saw one in Kelsey. You see Gronk, and you look around the league, and it's the prototype, right?
The Giants.
6'5", 6'6", 245, 250. Runs down the field, catches a football.
Great hands.
I'm with you on that. That's one of my top couple positions. I would go, it would be tight end, guard, 1A, 1B. It would be linebacker, then it would be quarterback for me.
So you think you would invest a first-round pick on a guard?
I would.
It would have to be special.
It would have to be special. But you give me if it's a guy you can plug in here right now and he's going to be there for 6 years, I'd take
him
right now.
But isn't Jesse Davis an argument against that?
How long did it take to find Jesse Davis?
It took him years.
How many years have we been looking at those two guard positions and going, yeah, but you know what? You can get him in the fourth, fifth round. Everyone finds him. This guy finds him. Barcel finds him. How many have we found?
You're right.
You get that guy, you put him in there, and then you forget about him. You get a guy like that, you put him there, and you put Jesse Davis on the other side. Your interior offensive line is set.
Yeah, I'm waiting for this line to be set for years to come.
But the other question. So the other question is this. If you've got a kid like, Baker Mayfield from Oklahoma, the Heisman Trophy winner, if he's there when you're there, you waste no time taking him.
If they have a conviction, if he is as good as I think he is, and they agree, I would jump all over him, and I wouldn't look back.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys I've spoken to.
And it's not a reflection of Tannehill.
No,
it's a reflection
on the position
and the importance of the position.
Well, look around. You know, at the end of Sunday, the playoffs are going to be set.
Right.
Look at every quarterback on the playoff teams. And look at where they are. Look who they are and look what they are. And you can count Green Bay in there, too.
There are a couple of exceptions.
Aaron Rodgers because of injuries.
Blake Bortles, I wouldn't call him a stud in Jacksonville.
No, I wouldn't.
But their defense is special.
That's a Trent Dilfer kind of a story
there. Joe Flacco a little bit.
Yes, exactly. But Tannehill, getting back to Tannehill, I fully expect Tannehill to be I don't care if he's ready. I've said this before. I don't care if he's ready for OTAs or mini camp or those things. He's going to know what he's supposed to do. He's going to be ready to go. I just want him to be ready for opening day of training camp and ready for opening day.
I do too.
And that's the important thing for me.
You know, and also the thing about drafting a young quarterback is he can make Tannehill better.
Yes.
Because he can push Tannehill. Yep. You know, as much as I like Matt Moore, he really doesn't push Tannehill. You bring in a 22-year-old stud with a cannon arm, he's going to make Tannehill better.
Yep, I'm with you. But then there's a
yes, over the shoulder.
Looking over your shoulder a little bit.
You know, Tannehill's 30 years old. He started for this team for 6 years. There's a sense of confidence there with him.
I'm with you. Mike Damper, which free agent running back to pair with Drake? I don't know. I don't know who's going to be popping out there.
Back. You can get a good running back in the 4th, 5th, 6th round.
Look, Damian Williams comes back and gets healthy. I'm fine with those two guys. And then find somebody either in the draft or free agency. But, look, I think it's clear to see in this league. And I like what we've seen out of Kenyon Drake. But he needs somebody to spell him. And the best thing we've had from him this year or thing that's helped with him this year is, you know, he's coming. He doesn't have a whole lot of tread on it. He hasn't worn a lot of tread off his tire.
No, he's 23.
Barely played at Alabama because he was a backup
to great
running backs. Comes in here, was a backup last year and was a backup early in the season. So he really doesn't have a lot of wear and tear on him. And to me, so that's why I wasn't so concerned with this year with number of carries, the pounding he takes. But I think when you start going into a full season next year, he's got to have two guys with him that you can rotate in that running back spot.
And they probably need a different type of running
back. You like to see a big Mike Allstott type of guy or something like that, right? To pair with those guys.
Nice
a big,
name, Paul.
Tough, you know.
Mike Allstott.
You know, you got to bring out the old guys every now and then. Another one. Look, Glenn Castle, 40 and Bo. Love the shirt. There it is, right there.
The one viewer that likes the shirt sent in a message.
Me and
that's
you.
That's good.
Me and you with a shirt, Glenn. All right. Injury report, Marquise Gray, hip, didn't practice. Charles Harris, thigh, didn't practice. T.J. McDonald, shoulder, didn't practice. Mike Pouncey, hip, didn't practice. And Ndamukong Suh, knee, didn't practice. You getting the idea of what I'm doing here now. Michael Thomas, not injury-related, but didn't practice. Laramie Tunsil, ankle. Didn't practice. Cameron Wake, not injury-related, didn't practice.
All those guys
didn't practice, yes, and I would fully expect guys are going to play.
Yeah, I don't see one guy that
no
I don't
question
believe.
About that.
Damian Williams practice.
Yeah, he's
good.
Not in the injury report, so
good.
Yeah.
That's positive.
We should see him out, yeah, no doubt. Now, here's a question with a guy like this. Shoulder, you got a whole off season. You go ahead and give him some carries to spell Kenyon Drake?
Adam Gase knows that pretty well.
I would slide Sonoris Perry in there, I think, before. And maybe.
Yeah, you don't want to cause headaches in the offseason for a player that's already dinged.
You don't want to put you don't want to put a guy that maybe is, and I don't know what his situation is with his shoulder.
I don't either.
But you don't want to. I would say this: if he can heal naturally, you don't want to put him through surgery by injuring it again and having to go under the knife. I don't think that's something you want to do. Michael Phillips, can we put one of the corners at free safety? Is that a good idea? Well, you got T.J. McDonald. And you got Rashad Jones. Why would you want to take a corner and move him into
if
a position?
It's not broke, don't fix
move
it.
Into a position where he's not going to play anyway.
No.
I don't. You know, that's what sometimes I don't understand about the questions that people give. You don't, from a common sense standpoint, you got one All Pro safety, you got another very good safety that you just signed to a long term contract, but you're going to take a corner out. And stick them in the mix there.
You,
I don't get that.
You never want to make one area weaker by making another area stronger.
I don't even see where that makes a safety position any stronger.
And there really isn't a corner on the team that's
that fits
mold.
You got two guys there in TJ and Rashad that you can put at the line of scrimmage, or you can put them deep in the middle of the field, and they're both going to give you good play. Yeah, no, there's no reason to move anybody. Black Jean, Motown, M-Town. I'm assuming that's Motown. Maybe not. We need linebackers and a great young backup quarterback that can. I think that's what we talked about. I think
you hit it out of the park, Motown.
Steven, you're right. You're right on the mark there with that one. I agree with it completely. Linebackers, quarterback, Offensive guard.
I want to see specifically a linebacker that can really get after the passer and that can play coverage. So you're talking about more of an outside linebacker type than an inside. You're talking about a guy who's maybe, 6'4", 245, can run a 4'5", 40. That's the type of guy they really need.
Yep, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. Steven Geese. Andy, get in Gase's ear. Dallas Goedert from South – is that Goedert? 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 Goedert?
From where?
South Dakota State.
How does he know? This guy must be from South Dakota.
Get him. Well, he's obviously he's a South Dakota guy. I haven't seen – look, I haven't seen many South Dakota State games this year. Have you seen any?
No, I tried to catch one.
Tried to catch one.
Yeah, it was on too late, I think.
Yeah, I didn't –
Isn't Jesse Davis from there? I know he told me he grew up on the –
Maybe we have to talk to Jesse Davis and find out what he knows about Dallas.
He's from one of the Dakotas, either the North or South.
Well, we've delved into North Dakota a couple times already here.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. We have.
So it's Dallas Goedert.
I don't think they need a place kicker, by the way. They're good at place kicker.
Yeah. I tell you, anyway, I'm going to leave that be.
Okay.
I'm going to leave that thought be.
Jakeem Grant, I want to see more of him.
Jakeem Grant. I tell you, we'll see more. We've seen more of him every week. Tell you what, you know what surprised me about Jakeem Grant over these last four games or three games where he's had the opportunity to play him a lot more? You think of Jakeem as a little guy that runs by guys.
Toughness.
Man, I tell you what, the play he took in for the touchdown, I mean, he completely ran a guy over.
What just hit me?
Number 25, I think it was.
Yeah, it was.
I remember I was doing the coach's show, and I said, look, that's a guy that doesn't want to watch the film on Monday. That guy that got ran over by Jakeem Grant, he doesn't want to see
like
that film.
It wasn't like a minor runover.
Oh, no.
He buried him.
He put his head down and ran right over him, yeah. So
that says a lot about Jakeem Grant.
It does. And look, we saw him during the preseason, and it took 12, 13 games to get him out there and get him playing, and he certainly showed the coaches that he deserves a lot more opportunity.
And really, in some ways he's a positionless player. You can put him anywhere. You can put him in the backfield. You can put him in the slot.
Yeah,
just get him on the field.
Well, you can do a lot of different things with a lot of these guys, and it kind of goes back to one of the things we talked about yesterday. Someone had gone in and asked about evaluating Adam Gase and his offense and this and that, and his offense has been playing catch up virtually all year long, and so that play calling, doing the things you want to do, I think kind of fell out of his hand at times because you were in a situation where you had to step back and start throwing the ball. You couldn't do some of the things. Sometimes an offense it takes a little patience to get that offense because you're kind of probing, right?
Right.
You're doing this or you're kind of misguiding. We're going to show you this. We're going to show you this. Then we're going to show you this action, but we're going to do something off of it. And if you got to get out of doing it, then you can't follow through with it. And so I think he's been a little bit handcuffed by the fact that this team, for so many games this year, really the only game I can remember that wasn't a game where you're playing catch-up the whole time was the Denver game
for
the most part. And New England down here, right.
Yeah.
You got up then on them early and had a chance to do that. But other than that, it's been, hey, we're behind. We got to find a way to catch up, and hopefully our defense can hold these guys down a little bit and we can get back in the game.
Yeah, I think Jakeem is a great challenge for Adam Gase and his offensive mind. And I think one of the things he's going to do this offseason, now that he has enough plays on tape, is to figure out more and different ways to utilize him because he's a special talent.
Yeah. Hey, Bo, do you remember a teammate that played badly, then the light bulb came on later in the season? I think there's a lot of guys. I think if you're around this league and you guys see young guys playing, I think there are a lot of rookies. I tell you another guy. I think he worked as hard as anybody on this football team, and I think put a lot of pressure on himself would be Charles Harris. And I think Charles is a guy that just kept working and working and working, kept his nose to the grindstone, kept talking to guys, kept watching film. And I really think of the last month, I think you could see his game really start coming along a lot better and more, I think, what people expected of him.
Yeah, I think this offseason is big for him.
Yes.
And I think next season, you always see a major difference in a player from their first to the second year. I think with a player like Charles Harris, it could be even more significant, the difference you see in year two. I think he's gotten a lot of things under his belt. He understands what it takes. He understands what the game is about now. And I think he's going to be very good at second
season. Well, a lot of people, especially a defensive end, you're drafted in the first round. you got Cam Wake, you'd lived for years with Jason Taylor, and so you're expecting this guy's going to come in, and you know we need to see 8 or 9 sacks from him to be happy. And he ended up with 2. He's got 2 sacks so far, but I've seen him improve on a lot of other things, setting the edge, run defense, all those types of things where he's gotten better. Quarterback hits, harassing the quarterback, forcing the quarterback to throw the ball more quickly than you want. All those things that really come. And so if you're just looking at sacks, you probably say, oh, he didn't have a very good year. I thought he got better as the year went on. And I'm happy that I'm happily looking forward to what Charles Harris is going to be next year.
It's very rare for a defensive end to come in his rookie year and be a dominant player. Yep. But it's not rare for a defensive end to come in his second year and be a dominant player.
Pick it up. All right, Andy, that's going to do it for the program today, man.
Thanks, Bo. Happy New Year.
AC in the AM, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m.
Tomorrow
Andy
morning.
Andy Cohen,
read
you can
me.
Hear it. Tomorrow morning, bright and early. I'll be snoozing. I won't be reading.
I won't be reading
until 10 o'clock because that's when I'm sleeping till.
But I'm
so
there
I'll
then.
Catch you late a.m.
Okay.
How's
thanks.
That?
Thanks, Bo.
You need to, for me, you need to do Andy in the afternoon.
Okay.
And then I'll start. And then I'll start watching. Exactly. Start reading.
Happy New Year, Bo.
Happy New Year to you. And Happy New Year to everybody out there. If I don't hear, we'll be back on Friday, though, with Joe Rose. We're going to be here at 12:30 on Friday. Myself, Joe Rose. Until then, have a good couple days. We'll see you then.